We have a beautiful Sunday morning, and we have sunshine after some inclement weather this past week, and we have the ability to come out and worship God, and I'm encouraged that we can do that. And you have chosen, as we will speak this morning about choices, you have chosen to come and worship the Lord, and I'm encouraged by that. In fact, you've probably made several choices already this day. Some of them may not be spiritual in nature. Some of them may not involve eternal consequences. We make choices every minute of the day. And yet some are more far-reaching. Some have eternal consequences. Some are spiritual in nature. And we want to talk this morning about making the right kinds of choices that will lead us to that narrow way, through that narrow way, to eternal life. In our scripture reading, two choices are given by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. The choice to travel the narrow way that leads to eternal life, or the broad way that leads to destruction. And I hope this morning that in our study, we will learn from God's Word to help us along the lines of making the right kinds of choices. Just by way of announcement, I wanted to let you know ahead of time that this evening we're going to be talking about the biblical subject of hell, a subject that is often overlooked and neglected in our society today. And I wanted to mention that this morning and encourage all of us to be back present for that. All of us need to hear that lesson, and especially I'd like for our young people to be back as well. This is a subject that I would like for them to consider and hear, as we all certainly need to be mindful of that. So this evening we will be talking about a loving God and an eternal hell. But this morning, I want us to turn to a well-known passage in Joshua chapter 24. We have studied this recently in our adult Bible class. But I would like for all of us to read that passage where Joshua comes to the end of his life and encourages the people of Israel to make the right choice to serve God. And as parents, we need to be encouraging our children to make the right choices. As concerned members of this church, we need to encourage brethren to make the right choices. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, Joshua says, "Now therefore fear Jehovah and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt, and serve ye Jehovah. And if it seem evil unto you to serve Jehovah, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah." So choose this day. And I want you to make a choice this day, as I have to make a choice this day, whom we will serve. Life is about choices. I have not always made the right choices in my life. Maybe you find that the same to be the case in your life. What can we learn from that? How can we improve that? How can we move forward and not repeat those same choices and mistakes that we've made in the past? We're going to learn from this passage in Joshua how to do that. And we're going to ask some questions on how that we might do that today. We live in a nation and a culture of choice. America is all about choice, isn't it? America is all about the Bill of Rights and the freedom to choose. And we hear that all the time in the news and in the media and on in Hollywood and other places, where it's all about pro-choice. It's all about freedom of choice. And so we live in a culture and a climate where it fosters that and encourages that, but often along the wrong lines. We certainly have the power to choose. That's not the problem. That's not the point. But we must make choices that are governed by a standard. And that standard can either be man or God's Word, the Bible. I'm all for choice. I'm all for the freedom of choice. That's not the issue. God made us from the very beginning to have the ability to choose. That's how He made us. He gave us a free will. But the point is, our choices must be governed by His Word and His will. But freedom of choice in our nation, pro-choice in our nation, has become synonymous for making immoral choices. We even see that in the matter of religion. Religion is about choice. Religion is about worshiping the church of your choice. There's a sign just north of here in Russellville, Kentucky: worship in the church of your choice. And we see that regularly. We see where someone will have a religious crusade in a football stadium, and at the end of the crusade, they will say, "Come down and accept Jesus as your personal Savior," and then go home and worship in the church of your choice. with that type of climate, with that type of encouragement, people in this nation and in this world today think that, yes, I have the power to make choice, and then I also have the power to make the standard for my choices. And so choice becomes subjective in nature rather than matching up with God's Word. We need to worship, and we need to be a member of the Lord's church. But it has nothing to do with our choice. The problem with that sentence right there is not worship and it's not church. It's the word your. That's the problem. We need to be worshiping in the church of God's choice. And so with that climate, we need to be reminded of making the right kinds of choices. We were created by God to have a free will to choose. Turn back with me to Genesis chapter 1. We're told that we're made in the image of God. What does that mean? Well, one thing that it doesn't mean is that because we have a physical body, God has a physical body. There's some things that that does not mean. But there's some things that that does mean. To be made in the image of God means that we have a conscience. We are conscious. God is a conscious being. He's real. He's a being. We have a conscious being inside of us. And number two, emotion. Love and hate and anger. God has those things. That's another way that we're made in the image of God. And number three, the power to choose. God chose whether or not to create. God didn't have to create. He made a choice to create. He existed before creation, and at one point in His mind, He made a choice to create. We have the power to choose. That's how we're made in the image of God. Emotion, conscience, and choice. This is the way that we're made in the image of God. Now look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. And God created man in His own image. Part of that means the power to choose. Now, how is that illustrated in the Garden of Eden? Turn with me to chapter 2 and verse 15. And Jehovah God took the man and put him in the garden to dress it and to keep it. And Jehovah God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die. Notice the choice there. You have a choice to eat freely of all these trees, but not this tree. That's a choice. The narrow road that leads to eternal life or the broad way that leads to destruction. That's a choice. Adam and Eve, from the very beginning, because they were made in the image of God, had the power to choose. And notice the choice that is set before them in chapter 2, 16 and 17. That's a choice of what trees to eat or not to eat. That wouldn't make any sense if they didn't have the power to do that. They were given that by God. And so God puts in us, from the very beginning, the power to choose. That's not the problem. Choice is not the problem. And the freedom to choose is not the problem. The problem is when people use a standard that is not God's Word by which they make their choices. And so this morning, we want to use that statement that Joshua makes. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And get us to think about the choices that we have to make every day. We've already made, I'm sure, several this day. Many of our choices have little consequence. Whether we put on shoes or boots. Whether we put on blue jeans or dress slacks. We make all kinds of choices throughout the day that will have little consequence. Some of the choices that we make in life are life-changing. Maybe our diet. Maybe what we're putting into our body might affect us down the road with regard to cholesterol and our arteries. And so sugar and fat and cholesterol and those types of things, those are going to be some life-changing choices. We need to think about those things. But there are a few things that will affect our eternal destiny, that will determine heaven or hell for us. And those are the things that we want to focus in on this morning. So in that admonition and in that vein, choose you this day, I want to talk about this morning the choice of God or Satan. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. And then in just a moment, we're going to ask some questions to help us make the right kinds of choices. As you're turning over to Romans chapter 6, I want you to think about something. I could stand before you this day and say, you need to choose God, and then let's just all go home. Well, that would be encouraging, but that wouldn't really be practically helpful. I want to encourage you this morning to choose God, but we're going to ask some questions in just a moment to help you make those choices. Young people, listen to me. I want you to choose God, but I'm going to give you some questions in just a moment to ask and answer to help you make that choice. I don't want to say, choose God, and then just send you out the door. I want to help you with that. And so we're going to ask some questions in just a moment to help us make the right kind of choice. But we have to make a choice. In Romans chapter 6, it's pretty simple. It's either between God or Satan. In Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 16, know you not that to whom you present yourselves as servants unto obedience, you're going to obey somebody. His servants you are whom you obey, whether of sin, the devil, unto death, that is separation from God, or of obedience unto righteousness, of course, which leads to heaven. We've just got two choices, sin or righteousness, God or Satan, and you can't choose both. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, you cannot serve God or mammon. Mammon was an Aramaic word which meant the things of this life, the riches and the material things of this life. And of course, the God, small g behind that, the devil. We cannot serve God and mammon. So it's a choice between God or Satan. You can't serve both. You can't have both. Joshua wants us to choose God. How do we go about doing that? Moses wants us to choose God. Turn back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Joshua was not the only one that encouraged his people to make the right choice. Moses, before he died, encouraged the people to make the right choice. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30, and let's look at our choices. Our choices are between two things, God or Satan, life or death, sin or righteousness. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15, see, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil. Life and good, of course, would be obeying the law of God. Death and evil would be disobeying the law of God. In that I command thee this day to love Jehovah thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments. That's the life and the good. That's how that's carried out, following God's word. See, the problem is not choice. The problem is not the freedom to choose, the power to choose. We've been made that way from the very beginning. The problem is we need to make sure that it's made with the right standard, and that is God's word. That you may live and multiply, that Jehovah thy God may bless thee in the land, whether you go to possess it. Verse 17, but if thy heart turn away, and thou wilt not hear. You see, the problem is not choice. The problem is when we stop using the standard of God's word. I don't want to hear that standard anymore. I don't want to listen to that anymore. But shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land, whether you go over the Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that I have set before thee life and death. Jesus did that in the Sermon on the Mount, the narrow way and the broad way. There have been people throughout time that have set before us these two choices. Whether it's Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, whether it's Moses, whether it's Joshua, you get two choices. You need to choose the right choice. What are some questions we can ask to help us make that right choice? So Moses says in verse 19, I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life that you may live, you and your seed. To love Jehovah thy God, to obey his voice, and to cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, and thou mayest dwell in the land which Jehovah sware unto thy fathers. Choose God. Choose to serve God. He is what gives us life. What are some questions then that we can ask, that we might make the right choices? It's one thing to say, make the right choice, go home. And it's another to get some help with that. What are some questions we can ask to help us make those daily choices? Well, they revolve around three things. Number one, my relationship and your relationship with God. Number two, our relationship with our own self. And number three, our relationship with others. First of all, what are some questions we can ask with relationship to God? Number one, when I'm about to make a choice, am I going to make a choice that glorifies God? And if the answer is no, then I don't need to do that. Turn with me to Psalm 19 and verse 14. There is a God, and He lives, and He moves, and He breathes. He's real. He's watching us. And my choices have to glorify Him. I am going to be held accountable by Him. He's not off in some distant universe, uncaring and unknowing. I must choose something that glorifies Him, because I'm going to have to face Him in Judgment Day. Number one, He made me. And number two, I'm going to have to meet Him again at the end of this life. And so my choices have to glorify Him and magnify Him. In Psalm 19 and verse 14, let the words of my mouth... When I choose what to say with my mouth, I'm going to have to make a choice, right? Let the words of my mouth and the meditations on my heart be acceptable in Thy sight. My words and my thoughts have to be acceptable to God. They have to glorify God. They have to be right with God. Do my choices glorify God? In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, Jesus says that we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That people see us and glorify our Father who is in heaven. If I'm about to say something or think something or do something and it's not acceptable in Thy sight, then I don't need to do it. And sometimes we're not thinking that way and we go ahead and do something, but we need to be thinking that way. John 8:29, Jesus said, I do always the things that please my Father. Turn with me to John 17 and verse 14. When Jesus is about to go to the cross, what was His approach in life? When He chose to do things in His earthly ministry of 30 years or so. In John 17 and verse 4, we're told, I glorify Thee on earth, having accomplished the work which You gave me to do. I glorify Thee. When I'm about to make a choice, I have to glorify God. And if I can't do it, then I don't need to choose that. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. I'm about to say something. I'm about to think something. I'm about to do something. And if it does not glorify God honestly, then I don't need to do it. Paul said, whether therefore I eat or drink, or whatever I do, do all to the glory of God. And if you can't do it to the glory of God, you don't need to do it. I don't need to do it. That helps me to make the right choices throughout the day. Number two, again, with relationship to God, when I'm about to make a choice, does it reflect the teaching of God's Word? Can I find in God's Word where I'm allowed to do this? Or where God would be pleased if I do this? If the answer is I can't find it in God's Word, then I don't need to do it. Turn with me to Psalm 119. It's one thing to say, choose the Lord, and it's another to get some help in doing that. These are some questions we can ask ourselves to help us make those right choices, whether we're young or old. In Psalm 119, look at verse 9. Really, the whole chapter is about God's Word dictating our life. Verse 9, wherefore shall a young man, or a young woman for that matter, cleanse his way or cleanse her way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy Word. A young person gets up each morning, is going to be making choices at school, making choices with friends, making choices when they're out away from mom and dad. How do you make those choices, young people? It's by taking heed to God's Word. The teaching of God's Word has to dictate my choice. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy Word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. It's God's Word that dictates my choices. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my way. Verse 105. That's telling me that it's guiding me every way. And if I'm about to say, think, or do something, and I don't have God's Word to back it up, I don't need to say, think, or do it. And so, we need to choose life. We need to choose God's Word and let it make our choices for us. Sin, 1 John 3:4, sin is transgression of God's law. I made a choice to do something, and I violated God's law. His Word was not directing me. His Word was not guiding me. It was not teaching me. I made a choice, and I didn't have God's Word for it, and it's sin. 1 John 5:17, sin is unrighteousness. Sin is when I do something that is not righteous. that is not according to the teaching of the Word of God. So number one, I need to make sure that when I make choices each day, I'm glorifying God, do all to the glory of God. Whether I eat or drink, whatever I do, Paul says, it must be for the glory of God. And number two, I must have the teaching of God's Word to guide me. Well, let's keep asking some other questions. I don't only need to be concerned about God, I also need to be concerned about myself. So let's ask a few questions about myself. We've taken care of God. We've talked about God. God is in the picture. Now, what about myself? Well, let's ask a few questions. Number one, do the choices I make defile my body? Am I putting something in my body that is destroying my body and I cannot use my body as a temple to serve God? There are several passages that deal with this. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6 and let's look at a few. Alcohol, tobacco, drugs, whatever it is that you're putting into your body, that I'm putting into my body, that's destroying it unnecessarily, is not what God wants me to do with my body. It's the wrong choice. And we need to stop it. Look at Romans 6:13. Neither present your members, he's talking about your physical body, neither present your members unto sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Your physical body is not to be used as a tool, as an instrument to do that which is wrong. Don't put things into it where it becomes a vehicle and an instrument for wrong. But present yourselves unto God and alive from the dead. Look at Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Our body is to be a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament sacrifices, the unblemished animal was brought to God. Not the drug-laden, tobacco-laden, alcohol-laden sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. So present your bodies, verse 1, as living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. Honestly, is alcohol, tobacco, and drugs acceptable to God in any way, shape, or form? Turning to Scripture, to use Scripture, can we find where He would approve of any of that? Of course, we're not talking about something in a prescribed, regulated form to help us heal. We're talking about the abuse of those things, obviously. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. If I am making a choice and it's defiling my body, I'm making the wrong choice. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Or know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, in your body. You need to do that in your mind, too, but also your body. Some people say, well, as long as I'm going to church and I'm using my mind to love God and serve God, who cares what I dump in my body throughout the week? Our body is to glorify God just as much as our mind is. Are we bringing glory to God through drugs, alcohol, and tobacco? Do the choices I make bring me into bondage? This is similar to what we've just looked at. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Am I becoming enslaved to something that is wrong? In Romans chapter 6, in verse 11, even so, reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lust thereof. You're becoming a slave to it. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. And it's easy to do. It's easy to get enslaved. Romans 6 and verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Have I been brought under bondage to something that is wrong, and I'm enslaved to that? If the answer is yes, then I'm making the wrong choice, and I need to stop that. Number three, do the choices I make help me to grow spiritually? That's an obligation that we have as a Christian. Am I doing something? Am I going somewhere Am I thinking something? Am I saying something? Am I doing something that's helping me grow or get weaker? Turn with me to Psalm 92. We're supposed to flourish and grow like a tree. We're not supposed to go backwards. We're supposed to go forward in our maturity and in our growth and in our development and in our strength with serving the Lord. And if I'm making a choice that's taking me the other direction, I'm making the wrong choice. In Psalm 92 and verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, that tall, mighty tree in northern Palestine. They are planted in the house of Jehovah. They shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and green to show that Jehovah is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in Him. We're supposed to grow and flourish. Of course, we're familiar with 2 Peter 1:5. We're to add to our faith and we're to grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. If I'm making choices where I'm going the other direction, I'm not praying as much as I did before. I'm not reading my Bible as much as I did before. I'm not going to spiritual opportunities like I did before, gospel meetings or other church services. I'm doing less of all of that. I'm making some choices that's taking me the opposite direction. And they may be choices in and of themselves that aren't necessarily immoral. They're just choices that are taking me away from growth. I need to stop those things and start growing again. Do the choices I make violate my conscience? Turn with me to Romans chapter 14. This is a personal self matter, so I include it in the list. I've got to make some choices each day, and if I'm doing something that deep down inside I know is wrong, I know it's wrong when I'm saying it. I know it's wrong at the moment I'm thinking it. I know it's wrong at the moment I'm doing it. But I do it anyway. I'm violating my conscience. And it's the wrong choice. Romans chapter 14, Paul is talking about people who observe certain days or eat meats when they really think it's wrong to eat meat. They do it anyway. They violate their conscience. That's what he's talking about here. Verse 23, he that doubteth is condemned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. You're not fully convinced. You're violating your conscience. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. This verse is talking about whatever you are not fully convinced in, and you do it anyway, you sin. Paul talks about in 1 Timothy 1:5 a pure conscience, a clean conscience. And then turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. He talks about a branded conscience. Here's the problem with this. The first time we do it, we know it's wrong. The second time we do it, we know it's wrong. The third time we do it, we know that it's wrong. But after a little while, we don't even listen to our conscience anymore. And so it becomes branded and seared as with a hot iron. And so 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, there are those, the hypocrisy of men that speak lies, branded in their own conscience as with a hot iron. When you brand cattle, and you take that hot branding iron and you press it in there, it burns. And it kills the cells and it makes a scab right there. And where that burns later, there's no feeling. You've killed all of the nerve endings. And so a conscience that is branded with the hot iron is a conscience that doesn't feel anymore. And when we get to that point, then we don't even care about the choice we're making anymore. The first time we did, the second time we did, the third time we did, after a while, we don't feel anymore. So we've got to be careful about that. But when I make a choice and my conscience says, don't do this, and I do it, I'm violating my conscience. I'm making the wrong choice. Do the choices I make bring me to be more like Christ? Could I honestly say that Christ would be saying this very thing that I'm saying? Christ would be thinking this very thing that I'm thinking. He would be doing this very thing that I'm doing. That would cut out probably a lot of choices that we do. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, we are to be conformed to the image of His Son. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, be imitators of me as I also am of Christ. I have to imitate Christ. In 1 Peter 2:21, Christ is our example that we should follow in His steps. And then turn with me to Galatians 4:19. This is a beautiful passage, and a beautiful way of phrasing it. Galatians 4:19. My little children, of whom I am again in travail, look at this, until Christ be formed in you. I love that. Until Christ be formed in you. In other words, you're the image of Christ. And if we're making choices where we're not reflecting His image, and we're not imitating Him, and we're not following His example, and He's not formed in us, then we're making the wrong choices, and we need to stop those things. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, let's ask a few questions concerning how to make choices in life. And I've got to consider God, and I've got to consider myself, and number three, I've got to consider those around me, because my choices impact others. Number one, do the choices I make each day help my brethren to grow? Am I saying, thinking, or doing something that's going to help a member of the church go to heaven and get stronger and be more unified, or is it something that's going to tear down and divide and tear apart and weaken? Turn with me to Romans chapter 14 and verse 15. Paul in Romans chapter 14 is talking about matters of judgment. Whether to eat meat or not, doesn't matter either way. Matters of judgment, matters of personal scruple. But Paul was willing to say that in those types of matters, I am not going to make a choice that tears the other brother down. I'm going to make a choice that builds them up and edifies them. And so Romans 14:15. For if because of meat my brother is grieved, thou walkest no longer in love. Destroy not with thy meat him for whom Christ died. You've got to make a choice that's going to build your brother up and make and help him, not tear him down. Verse 19. So then let us follow after things which make for peace. I've got to make choices that are going to bring about peace and harmony, not the other way around. Whereby we may edify one another. A lot of things that I say, think, or do with my brethren may not help them grow and be more unified. It may be more divisive in nature. Make the choices that only cause us to edify. Paul says the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. But turn with me to 1 Peter 3. When we say, think, and do things around our brethren, make the choice that will only edify and build up, not tear down. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, talking about the brethren, you all, brethren, be like-minded, compassionate, loving as brethren, tender-hearted, humble-minded, not rendering evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but contrarywise. In other words, do the opposite. Blessing. For hereunto were you called, that you should inherit a blessing. Look at all those attitudes among brethren, all those good things. So my words, my thoughts, and my actions are only going to be choices that are compassionate, loving, tender-hearted, humble-minded, so forth. We're going to help our brethren be edified and built up, not torn down. I've got to consider others around me. Well, it's my mouth, and it's my thoughts, and I can do what I want. No. No, you got to consider God. And you got to consider yourself. And you got to consider others around us. And sometimes we don't do that. We just forge ahead and make those choices. And we see later that it causes problems. Do the choices I make help the lost to come to Christ? They look at us. They see our words and deeds. And we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And we are to bring them to glorify God. Make sure that when I go to work and when I go to school, I'm around the lost every day. I need to be bringing them to Christ, not by my actions taking them away. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Notice Paul's attitude. If we're not careful, because of the climate that we live in, we might have this, well, it's my body, I can choose what I want to do with it. Isn't that the pro-choice thing? Isn't that what's going on? The woman, it's her body. So it's your body, you can do whatever you want. And it's my mouth, I can say whatever I want. I got a Bill of Rights, and I got freedom of speech. You have freedom to speak. You do have that. But you don't have the freedom to speak anything you want. You have the freedom with your body. God gives us that from the very beginning. He gives us a mouth, and you can say whatever you want with it. That's not the point. The point is, with that freedom also comes a standard that controls that. So somebody said, well, I can do whatever I want. Look at Paul's attitude. His attitude, no, there's a God out there. I have to consider him. There's myself, and there are others. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:32. Give no occasion of stumbling, either to Jews or to Greeks, that's people out in the world, or to the church, that's your brethren, even as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many. Paul's attitude is not, well, it's my tongue, I can say whatever I want. No, he said, not my own, but what is going to help others. And so that helps us make choices. I have to consider God. I have to consider the people out in the world. I have to consider the church. And I have to choose only that which is going to be right in all of those instances. And then, last of all, and the lesson is yours, do the choices I make fulfill my obligations to family and to work and to the authorities of the land? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. As a Christian, I have to live right in the home. I have to be a submissive wife. I have to be a loving husband. I have to be a child, chapter 6 and verse 1, who obeys. I have to be a parent, verse 4, who teaches God's word. I have these obligations. I have these responsibilities. And so when I make choices, my family choices have to follow God's word. Then look at work, Ephesians chapter 6. When I'm at work, verse 6, but as servants of Christ, I'm still a Christian at work. Well, my boss says this and my boss says that. Well, fine. But Christ is your ultimate boss. And so when I make choices at work, I'm still a Christian. I still have to serve Christ. I can't be pleasing men. I have to be pleasing God. Look at verse 6, doing the will of God from the heart. I still have to do that at work. So the choices that I make in the home and the choices that I make at work have to reflect the Word of God. And then Romans 13, with the authorities, obeying those and being in submission to those in those areas in which they're leading us in the right way. These are all choices I have to make every day. So let's make those right choices that glorify God, that follow God's Word. Let's consider ourselves. We have to consider our own body. We have to consider our conscience. We have to consider whether or not we're reflecting the image of Christ. And we have to be mindful of others around us. Our brethren, those that are lost out in the world, our family, those other relationships that we have. Well, Joshua said, this well-known passage, beautiful passage. And as we close this morning, I want us to consider five statements that he says in this verse. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Consider five things. Number one, he says you've got to choose. And I want you to make the right choice this morning. And I hope that these questions and answering them honestly from God's Word will help us to make the right choice. You've been given from the very beginning of time the power of freedom and choice by God. But let's go out and make the right choices. And let's not put it off. Notice that he said, this day. He didn't say, go home and think about it. Go home and just mull it over for a little bit. Sit on it for a few days. Sit on it. No, he said, this day. You need to choose this day to obey the gospel. If there's sin in your life and you need to be baptized into Christ, do it this day. If you need to come back as an erring child of God, do it this day. Notice the urgency of the matter. No procrastination. That's what the devil wants. Number three, he says, whom you will serve. You got two choices, God or Satan. Let's make the right choice this morning, the choice that we know where we'll be blessed. And number four, you know, the world outside this building, when we leave this building, we go back out into the world, they don't care about any of this. Many of them don't. But regardless of what they do, you do the right thing. Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. When you go back out into the world, many of them are not going to choose the right thing. So be it. That's their choice. They're going to have to live with that. But you do the right thing. Don't use what everybody else out in the world does as an excuse not to do the right thing. Set the right example for others. Make the right choice, regardless of what others are going to do. Be a leader. Be someone who stands out in the crowd, but as for me and my house. And it's the only choice that brings blessings. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He knew that that was the choice that leads to heaven. He knew that that was the choice that brings about spiritual blessings here in this life and life to come. It's the only choice worth making. The other path, the proverb writer says, the way of the transgressor is hard. You can choose the other path, but it's going to be a hard path. The only path that brings blessing and good is that path to serve the Lord. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. It's good to be able to be here today. Now we have to make the right choice. Let's answer these questions honestly. And as Christians, let's go out and make the right kind of choices. Can you look back over your life, as I look back over mine, and see wrong choices? It's because we were not considering God. We were not considering truly ourselves and others around us. It was all about, hey, I can do what I want at the moment. That's all we're thinking. And we need to be thinking beyond that. We need to be thinking about God and other matters of ourselves and others around us. And let's go out and with that encouragement, make the right kind of choices. Choose this day to serve the Lord so that in the judgment day, we look across the crowd and we see one another and we see that we've made those right choices. We see our parents. We see our children. We see our loved ones because we made those right choices. That's the encouragement this morning. And if you're subject in any way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?